Bible believers believe the Bible. We believe Genesis 1, 2, 3, and the rest of the book. Now, most people know the story that God created man of the dust of the ground. And that's why when you bury a man, you go back 100 years later, you find dust and bones. God put man in a perfect garden, paradise, called the Garden of Eden. And he desired fellowship, not captivity. He put one tree in the garden and said, don't eat of that tree, and that's all. Love has to be a choice. So God gave them a choice. Sadly, they chose to disobey and reject God's love. We know the story. They were kicked out of the garden. God put a cherubim with a flaming sword, not allowing them back into the garden, because if they had, they would have partaken of the tree of life and been in that state of death for eternity. But what a lot of people leave out of the story is that he promised the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, who would come and bruise the head of the serpent and destroy the works of Satan and the works of sin. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan bruised the heel of Jesus Christ when he had him crucified on Golgotha, but it was a temporary blow, and that's why it's a bruise to the heel. It was not a deadly blow, because Jesus Christ rose from the grave 3 days later. But Jesus, in being raised from the dead, that's a deadly blow. Adam had sons, Cain and Abel, and we know the story. Cain killed Abel. Cain was sent into exile. And then God blessed Adam and Eve with another son named Seth. And from Seth, this promised seed would arise. But after a few generations, the world was covered with millions of people. And Noah was the only righteous person left. And so God instructed him to build an ark. And he and his wife, his three sons and their three wives, got on the ark, and only those eight survived. And then Noah prophesied in Genesis 9:26 that it would be through Shem. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, because Shem would be the one that would bring forth the promised seed. Well, one of Shem's descendants was a man named Abram. And in Genesis 12:1-3, God narrowed it down from all of Shem's descendants to specifically Abraham, or Abram at this time. And he says in Genesis 12:2, I will make of thee a great nation. Genesis 12:3 said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, then Abraham had sons named Ishmael from Hagar, Isaac from Sarah, and he also had sons from a lady named Keturah. Well, God narrowed it down and said specifically the promised seed would come through Isaac. And in Genesis 26:4 it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, then Isaac had sons, Jacob and Esau, and God specified that his promised seed would come through Jacob. In Genesis 28:14, Jacob was promised by God, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, Jacob was renamed Israel, and Jacob, as Israel, had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became the heads of 12 tribes. And of those 12 tribes, Jacob, on his deathbed, prophesied in Genesis 49:8, Judah, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. So Judah is being singled out now as the tribe from which this promised seed would come. Jacob also said in Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, that is Messiah, come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, Judah, from his tribe, eventually came a man named Jesse, and Jesse had 7 sons, and the youngest of those was David. And God chose David, and again, narrowed it down that it would the promised seed would come specifically from David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 16, we read, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." So we jump ahead now to the New Testament. And if anybody is ever going to claim to be Messiah, they have to prove that they come physically and legally as an heir to the throne from the line of David. And that is why when you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, you find a genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So we see that in Matthew 1, Joseph laid claim as an heir of David through the line of Solomon. Jesus Christ was the adopted son of Joseph. Now, if you read in Luke chapter 3, we see the genealogy of Mary. Now, it says Joseph, the son of Heli, but he was the son-in-law. Heli is the father of Mary. And what you see in Luke chapter 3 is the proof that Jesus Christ physically is the offspring of David through his son Nathan and all the way down through Mary, who married Joseph. And in Matthew chapter 1, you see that Jesus Christ has a legal claim to the throne as the adopted son of Joseph, also of the line of David through his son Solomon. This is important because in order for anyone to claim to be the Messiah, they have to prove that they come from the correct line, the correct seed. And Jesus Christ proved he came from the seed of David. You never see the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Hellenists, or Romans, or anyone else claiming that Jesus Christ was lying when he claimed to be the son of David. They knew. Why? Because there was this place called the Hall of Records. And you see, this is the point. This place called the Hall of Records is a place where all the genealogies of the Jews were kept, and you had to be able to go there and prove you were a descendant of King David. And Jesus Christ did that. The account in Luke where he goes to the temple, he's circumcised like any other Jewish boy. They offer a sacrifice. And Simeon, who had been promised by God he would see the Messiah before he died, he looked at Jesus Christ and said, "Today I've seen thy salvation." And he basically said, "I can die now." And at that same time, they would register Jesus in this Hall of Records. And that's why no one ever claimed that he was lying when he called himself the son of David. But after Jesus Christ was crucified, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He then, 40 days later, ascended to heaven. A few years later, Titus, the Roman general, came down from Rome and destroyed the temple. Jerusalem was completely decimated. And that Hall of Records, where the genealogies were kept, was completely destroyed. That means that since the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, no one can claim to be the Messiah and prove it. Jesus did and could, and he was also the only one who fulfilled all those prophecies in the Bible. But consider this fact. We know that no one else fulfilled those prophecies and was able to prove that he was a descendant of David. Therefore, either Jesus Christ is the Messiah, or there will be no Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the only one who could be the Messiah. And that is why you should place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died on the cross and paid for our sins, was buried and rose again because he is the Messiah.